Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the reading of God's word. So, I was thinking of a Christmas memory that changed expectations for me, and you know, I got to think it's got to be this Christmas. We had some plans for this Christmas. My parents were going to come out. They're not going to anymore. We were actually hoping to get away a little bit for this Christmas. That's not going to happen anymore. And so we had some expectations about what would happen, about what Christmas looks like. We generally have expectations of what Christmas looks like. Christmas looks like family and getting together and parties and banquets. And none of those things will be happening this year. And our expectations are being changed. And one of my questions then is, can we still find joy even in changing expectations? Can we still find joy in different expectations? Can we trust that God's plan is a good plan, even when it doesn't line up with ours? And so I'm thinking, well, I look at this story of the shepherds, and I look at this story of the angels, and I think, well, what were the shepherds expecting about the coming of the Messiah? And doesn't match up with what actually happened. And so we're going to take a look at this. And so often, we go through this type of story. And we've probably heard this story before. If you've been in church, you've heard this story probably every year. And even if you're not in church, you've heard this story a number of times maybe in the Charlie Brown Christmas special or some other Christmas special you've watched. But often we go through this story and we kind of view the angels as background. Sure, they deliver the message, but that's really all they are. They're just a messenger. But we don't really grasp the importance to the scene or the importance of their appearance to the rest of the Gospel of Luke. But when we understand how a first century Jew would have thought of angels, and really how they would understand their importance in the scene, it helps us to grasp a bit of a different picture. And so, of course, they are messengers. That's the job description of angels, to deliver messages. And all throughout the Bible, we see them undertaking this mission. They have the mission to deliver messages. And the angel that appeared to the shepherds is no different in this way. He's appearing, and their appearing is described a bit different than the other appearances. And the difference is important, because there's actually only two times, in the New Testament where angels are described the way they're described in this story in Luke. See, the text tells us that the angel appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, this is interesting because when we think about angels, and a couple things, you know, you've heard this before and we really want to debunk this, like, angels don't have wings, right? We see these pictures and we think of these amazing pictures, but angels don't have wings. And in fact, by all accounts, when you read through all the accounts of the Bible, for the most part, angels look like regular humans. They just look like regular people. And this is why it can say in the Bible that we need to practice hospitality, because you could be entertaining angels unaware. And if angels had these big giant wings and swords and all these different things, then I think we would surely notice that I would hope we would notice that, that we're entertaining this being with these giant wings. But by all accounts, angels generally look like humans, just regular human beings. And so there's only a couple times, like I said, in the New Testament, where the angels have this unique description of glowing or shining. And both times are in the Gospel of Luke. And in fact, they happen at the beginning and at the end of the Gospel of Luke. So it happens here once at the birth of Jesus, and it happens again at the resurrection of Jesus, when the angels appear to the women at the tomb. And the link here is important. The same child whose birth was announced by shining angels is the one whose resurrection is also announced by shining angels. This is no ordinary birth of an ordinary person, or even an extraordinary person. This is the birth of a divine king. See, there's one other place where there's just shining language is used. There's one other place in the Gospel of Luke where this shining language is used. You have it used at the beginning, at the birth of Jesus. You have it used at the resurrection or the rebirth of Jesus. And you have it used at the transfiguration, where Jesus is dazzling white, where his divinity is revealed, the veil is pulled back and the divinity is revealed. Luke wanted readers to notice that the baby in the second chapter really was more than a man. He truly was the Messiah. And that he rose from the dead underscored that he really was the Savior, as it says in 2:11. What God had said at his birth was demonstrated at the transfiguration. It was validated at the resurrection. And so with these angels, we say, Christ the Lord, and he has risen. That was a quote from a scholar, Dr. Michael Heiser. But see, it wasn't just the one angel that was there, was it? No, we find out that this angel is quickly joined by a multitude of the heavenly hosts. We often think of this scene as the skies opening up and there's a choir of angels in heaven, all apple-cheeked, right, and robed and you know, singing out this happy tune. But see, to these shepherds, the appearance, this scene would have had a different connotation to them. See, almost without fail, again, if you go through the Bible and you look at the different places where the heavenly host appears, almost without fail, whenever a multitude of the heavenly host appears on earth, they appear as an army. Think about Elijah and his servant looking around and seeing the host of heaven on chariots of fire. Think of the scenes in Revelation about the armies of the Lord, about the heavenly host coming down. So the first century Jew, this was part of the messianic hope that the army of the Lord, led by the Messiah, would come and conquer their enemies, would come and restore the kingdom of Israel. And so the sight of an army of angels would have communicated something, that God was here, that God was taking back the nations, that God was here to conquer the world. The army of the heavenly host is closely connected with the day of the Lord, the day when he would come and he would establish his kingdom. And he did come with an army of angels, but not in the way they expected. See, to these shepherds, the book of Revelation would have been more familiar than a baby, would have been more expected than a baby. See, judgment was the expectation. When God would return, he would judge the wicked nation. But instead, the message of the angels was different. The message of the angels was there was no judgment. Not yet. There was an army. This army wasn't led by a great warrior. Instead, the army is announcing the birth of a child. And they weren't announcing judgment, but they were pronouncing peace. This is the reversal. Not judgment, but salvation has come into the world. God was here to take back the nations. God was here to reach us, to reach his people, to come to his people. And he was going to conquer and he was going to take back the nations, but not by the sword. By becoming a man and by taking our punishment for sin. By coming to us and taking our place. Being born of a woman, taking on the form of a servant, and dying in our stead. See, this is part of why everyone who heard the message from the shepherds marveled and wondered, how could this be? What marvelous, merciful, gracious God. And see, this is a part of the messianic picture that isn't clear except in hindsight. But when Jesus comes, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it, but the darkness will be overcome by light. God will conquer. God's kingdom will prevail and advance. The day of the Lord, the first day of the Lord came. And the day of the Lord will come. And I think it's going to come the same way it came the first time, not in a way anyone expected, but in the way God planned it from the beginning. The shepherds go from being filled with great fear to filled with great joy. They go from being terrified to rejoicing. And this is really a picture of a child coming to their father. I want you to put yourself in the place of this child, coming to your father, your mother, whatever authority figure you can think of in your life. Guilty of breaking the window or breaking the favorite picture or breaking the family heirloom. Knowing that you're guilty. Coming to your father full of fear for the punishment that's coming. And then seeing the father with arms open wide. Waiting to embrace and forgive you. The move from fear to joy is one that we all know when our expectations are reversed. So then what do we expect from God? How do we react when our expectations are changed? Like I said, many of us had expectations for this Christmas that have been changed, so how can we react to the change? Can we see the hand of God in all things? And can we find joy in ways that we didn't expect, maybe? And I know many of you are. You're doing this. I know that many of you, regardless of the circumstances, are finding joy because I know that your joy and my joy is rooted in the Lord. It's rooted in the knowledge of Christ, in our faith, and in our salvation. See, the world may melt beneath our feet, but we stand on the rock that cannot be moved. And so we will rejoice in our sufferings. We will rejoice in our blessings. We will rejoice in all of our lives because we know that those sufferings are producing in us something that God desires. We know that our blessings are from His good hand, and we know that our lives, body and soul, belong to Him. You know, it's so easy to look around at the world. It's so easy to look around and look at everything that seems to be going off the rails. It's so easy to be angry and indignant. It's so easy to complain. It's so easy to commiserate. It's less easy to take that energy and put it into finding joy, put it into encouraging people, put it into looking at the Lord, looking to the Lord. Friends, what if we use this time to build our faith? What if we use this time to find joy? What if God is placing us in this time, in this place, in order to wean us off the idea that as long as I go to church on Sunday morning, then I'm good for the week? What if He's pulling us back to Him in a personal relationship? What if He's making us long for the corporateness of coming together? See, all these things, we set our eyes on all these things instead of giving motive to what the government is doing, or getting angry about what's going on around us. What do we do in our situation now? How can we shine light in this dark world as saints before the altar, as saints before the world? How can we communicate the message to others? Just like the angels communicated the message to the shepherds. And if we think about who communicated the gospel to us, because most of us, I would guess, now this is just a guess, but you can correct me, most of us didn't have an army of angels appear to us. But somebody told us about Jesus. Somebody told us how to find Him. Somebody told us where He was. Somebody told us about who He was. Somebody told us about what He had done and what He would do for us. And maybe for you that was a reversal of expectations. Maybe you had expected to find that you had to clean yourself up first. Maybe you had expected that you had to do something to get to God. Maybe you thought that you needed to clean yourself up first or do some type of religious ritual in order to reach God. But the story of Christmas, the joy of Christmas, the reversal of Christmas is that God has come to you. That he's come into the dirt of the world, into the low parts of human life, into the muck of your life, that he could reveal himself to you. So that he could conquer the nations, yes, but so that you could conquer with him in victory. That you could participate in his victory even though you won't lift a sword to do it. See, and this is the joy of hearing the message for the first time, that God has come to us. He has come to us in his creation in order to redeem us. And I want you to think back and remember when you first heard and believed the message and the joy that you had. So when we look at the Christmas story, like those who heard the shepherd's message, we are full of wonder. Look what God has done. He's come in the form of a human. He's become like us. God has come to conquer, to fulfill his plan in a way that reverses our expectations. Like the shepherds were blessed to hear the message. We're full of joy that God didn't just execute judgment. Thank God that he didn't just come and execute judgment. But he brought salvation for all of us who would believe. And all of those who will believe. See, at the first Christmas, the expectation reversed becomes the expectation bettered. God had come to his people. He had come as one of his people. Jesus had come to overcome sin, to overcome death, to redeem the nations. But this was better than was expected. Because through this baby in the manger, many would come to be saved. Many would put their faith in God, and many would be forgiven and reconciled. See, the angels play a major part in the great drama of history. They bring the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, come to us. So friends, today, marvel and wonder at what God has done. Marvel and wonder at his mercy and his grace in your life, at his inscrutable plans. And find joy in your salvation. For because of this child in the manger, this child wrapped in swaddling cloths who was announced by the angels, because of this child, you are saved, you are redeemed, you are made new, you have eternal life, and you are now and forever a child of God. So together with the angels we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, our God saves. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.